And we'll open this service in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Brady to come and pray for us.
Lord, dear God, I thank you for giving us another chance to come to your house and worship. Lord, I pray for all those that are out tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd please put your hand on the service. And in your name I pray, amen.
Remain standing. Let's do page 365.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None as could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide to the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No man so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he reveal us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
You may be seated, page 248.
Saints abide just over in the glory land, and I know to be by my Savior's side just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory. The mighty host I'll stand just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and his glory share just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angels. Over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land, with the blood washed throne I will shout and sing, just crossed over in the glory land. That Hosanna to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
We'll do one more, page 279. And Miss Hannah's going to sing a special for us.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on through Him I must swim. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares so past, home and less, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Saint's name may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead and leads what every tie. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of saving grace. On the streets of glory, lift my voice, here's so past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does save and keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, lift my voice, here's a past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Well, if you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Good to see all of you tonight. I need to make a few announcements. I need to see right after service tonight, I need to see Sister Kathy Mitchell. Right after service, Sister Kathy. This coming Sunday, right after morning service, going to be having a baby shower for Sister Courtney. And so remember that. And then our vacation Bible school is coming up. Matter of fact, our homecoming is July the 18th, third Sunday of July. Then we begin July the 19th through the 23rd, our vacation Bible school. And so we got a lot to pray about in that regard. So remember these things on your hearts. We need to really pray tonight for Sister Margaret Gertz, that God would be with her. She had a bit of a setback from her stroke that she had. And they've got her in some rehab in the hospital right now. And so we need to pray for her and Brother Leo, that God would touch him and be with him and strengthen him. And also Sister Peggy Phillips, need to continue remembering to pray for her. How about your prayer request tonight? Anybody on your hearts that we need to pray for tonight, Sister Debbie? Brittany Dale and Barbara Jones. Anybody else? Brother Gene, Brother Gene May. Anybody else tonight? Anything else on your hearts? Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And I want to show you some things by the Word of God tonight and pray that God would help all of us and speak to our hearts. And we began a few Wednesday nights ago preaching on this subject that we're dealing with again tonight on hindered prayers. Hindered prayers. And we're taking our text out of 1 Peter chapter number 3. And in this chapter, if you would like to go back and read from the very beginning, verse number 1 of chapter 3, he's talking about marital relationships, and especially in regards to a woman who may be married to a man who does not obey the Word of God. And what she should do. She ought to just tell him off and divorce him and run away. And no, that's not what the Word of God says. It's completely different from anything like that. But he tells what a woman should be to win her husband over. But verse number 7 is where we're taking our thought from tonight for this series of thoughts on prayer. The Lord dealt with my heart a little while back about my prayer life, and it seems like the Lord has to continually do that in my own personal life. I have to be reminded over and over again on the importance of prayer and how I need to be more of a prayer warrior. And God just deals with me like that, and I don't know if he does you like that or not, but in my own personal life, I slip in this regard of prayer. And I need to be more studious about praying about everything. Not just big things like we sometimes think, or not just in church, or just when something pressing comes up, then we find ourselves praying, but learning to pray all the time. And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, finishing up his thought about marital relationships. He said, likewise, ye husbands. Now he turns his attention to the husband of the relationship. He's been dealing mainly with the woman. He said, ye husbands, dwell with them, with the wife, according to knowledge. We need to get to know the woman that we're married to. That's just good common sense marriage living. Amen. If you don't get to know her, you're going to have some troubles in your marriage. He said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, here's my thought. That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. In other words, whenever things aren't just right between a man and a woman in their marriage, their prayers will be hindered. And we'll get to that at the near the end of this thought. I don't know how far we'll make it tonight. But we've been looking at this thought of hindered prayers. And I showed you the last time that we were in this study, this thought, I showed you how that when we enter into prayer, no matter when it is, whether it be you riding down the road and you just talking to God as you're traveling, or whether it be you locked away in your closet of prayer and you're alone with God, spending time with Him, when we pray, we enter a world of war. And it's been like that since before we were ever created, before this earth was ever created. There was a battle raging between God and Satan. And it began long before Genesis chapter 1, before the world was ever framed by the Word of God. This war began. And it continues on now into our lives. And the point of prayer is us praying in the will of God, praying that God's will be done in all of our lives. And so I showed you from the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be back there a little bit again tonight. I showed you how that is the reason that Paul admonishes all of us to put on the whole armor of God. Is because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is not between people, but our warfare is found against spiritual wickedness, against the principalities of the air, the Word of God says, and spiritual wickedness, listen to this, in high places. Now, he's not talking about Washington, D.C. He's talking about things above our heads. And I showed you from the book of Daniel, chapter 10, about Daniel praying. He prayed, he began praying at the very beginning. And 21 days later, an angel showed up to answer the prayer that Daniel was praying about. And the angel told him this. He said, from the very first day that you began to pray, he said, thy words were heard. In other words, God was listening. God had his ears tuned in to Daniel's prayer. But it took him 21 days to get the answer to Daniel. And then he went on to explain. He said, the prince of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now, he's not talking about an earthly prince. He's talking about those principalities that reside over our head. And we know that when we pray, that we already have an enemy. And his name is Satan and all of his minions. He'll do anything that he can to hinder our prayers. He will do all he can to delay them because he trembles whenever one saint of God bows their knees to God, because there is power in prayer. God listens to our prayers. And more than anything, God wants to answer every one of our prayers. He does not favor the preacher over anybody else. He does not favor the Sunday school teacher over the students. God wants to answer all of our prayers. And then we begin looking at this thought that not only are our prayers hindered by Satan, we ourselves can hinder our prayers. And we looked at that word hinder, just what does it mean to have our prayers hindered? The word hindered, defined, means to cause delay. It means an interruption. It means to hamper. It means the storm hindered our progress. In other words, you're headed somewhere in your Christian life. You need God's assistance. You need God to intervene in your life. And a hindered prayer will stop your progress. It will impede your progress. It will cause a delay in you progressing anymore in your Christian walk. I went on to show you that that little word hindered paints a word picture which describes and illustrates this thought of heavenly frustration. In other words, God so wants to answer our prayers that when we allow things in our own lives that will hinder God from answering our prayers, it frustrates the heart of God. I've used the illustration of me loving to provide for my wife, and I used this a quaint little illustration the last time we were looking at this, that Debbie and I'm hesitant to even talk about this tonight, because last time I did, she started sending me all kind of texts and emails wanting me to buy stuff for her. And I use this illustration that she'll maybe find a little dress that she's wanting, and she'll send me a text with the link to it. Maybe she found it on Amazon. And then she'll have just a sweet little note. Would you buy this for me? And boy, when I made mention of that, the next week I got overlooked. My phone blew up with text. And I showed you, I told you how I love providing for her. If I know that it makes her happy, I love being able to provide for that. I have a heart to provide for her. She's my wife. I love for her to be happy. Happy wife, happy life. Can I get a witness from every man right there? Amen. You know I'm preaching tonight. Well, then I use this illustration. What if Debbie decided she was going to just start laying around the house smoking cigarettes and drinking booze all day long and just doing nothing around the house? I mean, she won't wash my clothes. She won't cook a meal. She just lays around smoking cigarettes and drinking booze and just wallowing on the couch, passed out most of the time. And then she shoots me a text with a little dress and says, "Would you buy this for me?" I'm going to be hesitant. I'm not going to as willingly buy that for her. Why? Because our relationship is not what it should be. There's something that's hindering our relationship. And brethren, when we allow things in our lives that hinders our relationship with God, God has to restrain himself from answering our prayers. He's trying to show us that something's wrong. He's trying to show us that things just ain't what it should be by hindering our prayers from being answered. We looked last time that we were in this. We've got several thoughts on in regard to hindered prayers. But we looked at the biggie, the main thing that we would think of when it comes to hindered prayers, and that would be sin. The Bible says, and we looked at it Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, where the Word of God says it like this: "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." But then he goes on to say this. He said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." Listen to it. "That he will not hear." That he will not hear. Now, we know that God wants us assured and confident of this one thing, that God is listening to our prayers. God, we have his ear, if you will. I mean, God is listening to our prayers. And he says in 1 John chapter 5 that we know this is the confidence that we know that if he hear us, that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that God wants to answer our prayers. We know that God is listening to our prayers. But the Bible tells us that God will not hear if we allow sin to remain in our lives. And the question comes up, what happens when a child of God sins? When a child of God sins, some believe and some teach and preach that the child of God loses their salvation. No, we don't lose our salvation. We may lose our relationship. We may lose our fellowship with him. We may lose a closeness with him, but we do not lose our salvation. If we could lose our salvation, that means we'd have to get saved again and again and again and again, because how many of us have lived a perfect life since we've been saved? None. We all sin. Everyone. So what happens when a child of God sins? Well, God deals with us about the sin. And in that dealing, and it may be through hindered prayers. It may be that God, it seems like, have you ever felt like heaven is brass? You ever felt like just God's not listening to what you got to say? Oh, I've lived many of those days. Many of those days I felt like I just could not get through to God. God, what is it? It drives you even further into prayer. God, what is it? What is between me and you? And God may be trying to show us that there's some sin in our lives. And if there is, God will reveal that in our hearts. And once God reveals that, what do? The Bible tells us we pray. If we confess, that's prayer. If we confess our sins unto him, he is faithful to forgive us all of our sins. Thank God. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't lose our salvation. We may lose our fellowship with him. And it is restored through prayer. And God wants us to understand the importance of prayer in all of our lives. Prayer is the vital element to a child of God's life. His walk in the Lord, his growth, his maturing, his progress, his serving the Lord. Everything is dependent and swings on this thought of our prayers. So we looked at this thought about sin. But then I want us to go a little bit further with this tonight. And I want us to look at this. And I could say so much tonight about sin, but we want to move on with this thought. What else would hinder our prayers from being answered? Well, look in James chapter 4 with us tonight. James chapter 4. Let's just look at what Brother James had to say about it, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Look at James chapter 4. Give you a moment to get there. James chapter 4. You hear those pages rattling. God loves to hear the Bible being used. James chapter 4, look in verse number 1. James begins this chapter with a question. He said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, ye and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. I want to say, secondly, not only can sin hinder our prayers from being answered, But just this thought about silence. Silence. No prayer at all. Just the failure to pray. And brethren, I pray that God would stress this thought to us from this message about the sin of prayerlessness, about not realizing just how important it is that we talk to God about everything that concerns our lives. Yes, we'll pray when the things are big. We'll pray when things are pressing. We'll pray when things are just beyond us. But how many of us would be honest tonight and confess this, that a lot of times we don't pray because we're too busy handling it ourselves? We just don't involve God in our situation. We don't involve God in our life because we don't pray. We will not take it to the Lord in prayer. Notice in text of James chapter 4, he's talking about the fightings and the wars that we go through. He's talking about not just outward struggles that we face in life, but those inward struggles that we face in life. I mean, the battles we go through on the inside, and we all face them. I mean, we can get so twisted on the inside, and the war rage more so on the inside than we could ever imagine happening on the outside. I mean, mental wars, things that battle our minds and the thoughts that come through our minds that we know aren't pleasing to the Lord and we know that are defeat us in our Christian walk. Things that would not yield to the Spirit of God. Things that would not give us victory in Jesus Christ. And those things we need to learn to pray about. Those fightings, those wars that we go through. And yet we just remain silent. We just will not pray about those things. John R. Rice, of Days Gone By, a great preacher of Days Gone By, he said this. He said, "My greatest sin and yours is prayerlessness." He said, "My indecision, my lack of wisdom, my lack of guidance come directly from my prayerlessness." He said, "All the times I've fallen into sin, have failed in my duties, have been bereft of power or lack of comfort, I can charge to the sin of prayerlessness." Oh, horrible sin, he said, the lack of prayer. How many of us have things that just bother our minds, just rage in us, and they twist us on the inside and they torment us on the inside. And we feel like there's no need in praying over this. I've got to handle this on my own. This is just my issue, my problem, my deal that I've got to deal with. And we just take it all on ourselves to try to work it out right here. I've told you this before. When Mom still lived in Waycross, we would go down there and visit, and there was a little magnet that she had posted on the side of her refrigerator. I don't know whether we got that or not. We did. Little magnet she had posted on the side of her refrigerator, and it said this. It said, "When we work, but when we pray, God works." Brethren, a lot of times we just fail to realize that God is there to work on those things inside of you. We think God just wants to handle all those things on the outside, all those wars and fightings on the outside. And a lot of times we're wanting God to handle somebody. We want God to handle them. We want God to change her. We want God to change him. And the whole while, God's wanting to change us. We want God to fix that over there. We want God to fix this over here. And God says, I'm more interested in you. I've used this illustration so many times. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it is verse number 8, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I've used it like this, and I'm going to do it just for illustration's sake tonight, because I think that it illustrates exactly the way we misread that sometimes. He said, casting all your care. Here's my cares of life. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So I said, okay, God, I'm going to give you that care. That's that old care of that's troubling me, been bothering me for years and years and years. I'm giving it to you, Lord. And Lord, while I'm at it, I'm going to give you that. And Lord, I want you to tend to that. I want you to take care of that. And Lord, while I'm at it, I'm going to go ahead and give you that issue that's been just plaguing my life for so long. And we think that God is interested in all of that. But he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares right here. This is what he's caring about. This is what he's got his heart fixed on. Right here. Fixing me. Those issues, they're nothing to God. They're nothing to him. He can speak one word and that's gone. He's more interested in me and you, for he careth for you. So he tells us that we need to pray about everything. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you this tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you a little something about the book of Ephesians tonight. And I just want to show you the beginning and the ending of Ephesians. And then you'll understand about what all the other six chapters are dealing with, if you'll understand how it begins and how it ends. The book of Ephesians is one of the greatest books on Christian living and liberty in God. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at this in verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, God's word says it like this. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it. Who hath blessed us with, everybody say the next word, all. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look at what he's just told us. In the book of Ephesians, hey, we get three verses into this book, and he wants us to understand this, that we have all the spiritual blessings that we could ever think of. God has given them to every child of God, the spiritual blessings of Christ. Wow. No wonder he said, I'm daily loaded with benefits. He daily loadeth me with benefits. No wonder the psalmist said, blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, God has blessed us more than we can even receive, more than we do receive. He has blessed us so much more. The Bible tells us that Jesus said this. He said, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The Christian life is a life of abundance. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about we're blessed with all the spiritual blessings of God Almighty are available to every person in this room. Well, he begins the book of Ephesians telling us that. That is just a matter of fact. But now look how he ends the book. Ephesians chapter 6.
He tells us, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God in verse number 11. For we wrestle, verse number 12, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against, we've got a lot against us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Notice this. He says, verse 13, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And then he says, I want you to do this. Having done all, I want you to stand. Stand, stand. Why? Not only are our blessings in heavenly places, our battles are in heavenly places. And how do we fight those battles? Verse number 18. Praying always, look at it, with what? All prayer. All prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with what? All perseverance. And supplications for who? All saints. All. He emphasizes that little three-letter word, all, wanting us to receive all the blessings of God that he has for us. And how are we going to do that? By all prayer. All prayer. That means praying for the little things. That means praying for the things that trouble you so, so deeply that you can't talk to it to nobody else. You can't talk about it to your wife, your husband. You can't talk about it to your closest friend. You can't talk to it to your parents about this. And he says, I want you to take all of that to God in prayer. Everything. And you know, I sometimes think that we don't understand how important prayer really is in our Christian walk. I told y'all some while back, a couple of years back, this honestly happened in my life. I was going through a major spiritual battle in my own. I mean, it wasn't anything related to family. Wasn't anything related to church. It was just me. And it was everything. Everything was so, I got so twisted on the inside that I could not pray. I would get down and try to pray like I would normally do, and it just would not come. It just would not flow. There just was nothing there. And I would beg God, I'd say, God, whatever there is, oh God, show me. I can't stand this, God. The more that I would pray like that, the more twisted on the inside I'd get. And I got to a point where I was reading about that Syrophoenician woman one day, and she came to the Lord and she said, you know how the Lord treated her. At first, he wouldn't even answer. He just stood there. And then he looked at her and he said, I've just come for the Jews, not for anybody else. Just for Israel. That's the only ones I'm here to deal with. And she said, Lord, help me. That's all she said. She said, Lord, help me. And I borrowed her prayer. I said, God, if it weren't for her, surely it'll work for me. And that was the only prayer that I could pray for months and months and months in my Christian walk. Oh, yes, I was still coming in here on Sunday mornings and preaching. I was still going to meetings and preaching meetings. Oh, yes, I was still among the brethren. Oh, I was doing this, doing that. But on the inside, I needed God's help. And brethren, sometimes we need to understand that those things are the things that we need to bring to God in prayer and let Him have it. Let Him have it. If we don't, those things will torment us. They'll tear up our life. They'll twist us to a point where we can't even function as a human being, let alone a Christian. I love the old hymns that we sing out of that old red book. I love most of them. There's some junk in them, but most of them are good hymns. And those old hymns, I love studying the songs and finding out something about them and who wrote them and what did they go through in writing those hymns, and what was it that pressed them to pen the words that they penned. I mean, that song that we sing, Blessed Assurance, August Toplady, I mean, oh my word, what he went through, or Horatio Spafford, what he went through to write that song, lost three daughters, and his wife was the only one spared in a shipwreck. And he wrote those words, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. I mean, those songs were written by people who knew God. Well, there was a song that came to my mind when I was studying, preparing for this. And I thought, well, Lord, I just want to know something about that song. I want to know something about the person who wrote that song. It was a man born September the 10th, 1819, by the name of Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven. His parents were noble people, and they had the financial means to send Joseph off to a very good college, university institution, and he graduated with a bachelor's degree. And during his school time, the story went on to say that Joseph Scriven met the woman of his dreams, and the two of them fell in love with each other, and they set a date and were going to get married. And the day before they were to get married, his bride-to-be was out riding a horse, and she was crossing over a bridge, and something happened, and she was thrown off of that horse into the river, I believe it, the River Bon, over in Ireland, and said that he was near, but he could not get to her, and he watched her drown the night before they were to marry. It so distraught him that He just began wandering in life, just started traveling, and he wound up in Canada. And while he was in Canada, he became a part of the community there, and it said that he loved helping people, widowed people who couldn't take care of themselves, and he would make sure that the widowed people and the older people were taken care of. And it said that he would give people that were homeless his own clothing, and he would give them his clothes. He just had a heart to help people. Well, he met another girl while he was in Canada, and they too set a date. And right before they were to marry, she died. And there he was, and it seemed like he just had a heart to serve God. He was a great Christian man and just wanted to do for others and sacrifice all that. And it seemed like just one thing after another just came up in his life that caused him heartache and depression, and just seemed like all things were hopeless. Well, it went on to say that while he was in Canada, that he still had that heart to live for the Lord and do for people. And he would chop wood. One day he was walking through town and some man saw him. And they said, "That man looks like a sober man." And this man said, "I believe I'll hire him to cut wood for me." He had an axe in his hand and a sawhorse. And he said, "I believe I'll hire that man to saw wood for me." And a man overheard that gentleman say that. He said, "That's Joseph Scriven. You can't hire him." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because you can't afford him." He said, "He won't work for anybody that can afford him. He'll only work and cut wood for people who can't afford him, who can't pay him." He said, "He'll work for the elderly. He'll work for people that don't have money. And he'll go over and cut wood for them." Well, Joseph Scriven got around 65, 67 years old, if I've done my math right. And he took sick and he was laying on his bed sick. And a friend came by to see him. And the friend was trying to comfort him, was trying his best to just be a friend to him. And the friend noticed a piece of paper laying on a table close by. And he picked it up during his time of visit with him. And he looked at the words and he said, "Who wrote this?" And Joseph Scriven said, "I and the Lord did together. We both wrote it. The Lord gave it to me and I wrote it down." And he said, "I wrote that for my mother back in Ireland." He said, "My mom, I felt like just needed some comfort and just needed to hear some words of comfort. And I wrote this little poem down for my mother." And he said, "I don't want anybody to read it. I don't want," he said, "I didn't write it for it to mean nothing by it." And these are the words that he read that day on that piece of paper. "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry it to God in prayer." He said, "Are there trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." There's not one thing, I'm trying to impress you tonight, there's not one thing you cannot talk to God about. Not one thing. It does not matter what it is. It does not matter how silly it may seem to. You ever tried to talk to someone, it just seems like they're not getting it? I guarantee you there's one that'll get it. There's one that knows all about it. And he's the only one who can do anything about it. But here's what we'll do. We'll think, there's no need in talking to God about that. God don't want to hear that. God's not interested in my little life, my prayer. That's the lies of Satan. And he wants us to talk to him about everything. As we stand tonight, Sister Michelle, if you would just come tickle the ivories. We won't sing anything. Let's come and gather around these altars and let's just talk to him tonight as a church. It's so important. It's so important.